One with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for.
You found the Geek Watch One Holiday Spectacular, starring Kylan Tolles, Dawn Tolles, Victoria Rose, Ken Rose, with special guest Andy Ha. And now, from the Mother Earth Creation Studios in beautiful Green, Ohio, here is Kylan and Ken.
Happy holidays, geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
As Kylan said, happy holidays, guys. This is going to be the first ever, since it's the first Christmas we come to, the first ever Geek Watch 1 Holiday Spectacular. Woo!
So does that mean we're going to do pirouettes and a tutu?
We may have to do...
The Nutcracker Suite's coming later.
The ladies have tutus, Kylan.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
We could make, dude, the next YouTube video, you and me, into twirling in tutus on...
No. we're broadcasting live from Nakatomi Tower in bright and sunny LA. So we some German people just come in. I don't know if they're a band or whatever, but it's gonna look like it's gonna be a good time. And if you guys don't get that reference, I don't know you.
Ken doesn't get the reference.
Yeah, I don't get the reference, but we discussed that. We'll discuss that later on in the show. So, Geeksters, we're going to get a couple things out of the way. Then we're going into Geek Watch 1's favorite holiday movies. So get your list together and see if your list matches up with ours. But first thing, did anybody do anything this week?
We, just went to, some little movie that was opening.
Yeah,
that's true. It really didn't have much to it or anything.
No.
Hadn't really heard of it, but thought, why not? We'll give it a shot.
That's about it. Yeah, it's okay.
But yeah, Geeksters, Star Wars The Force Awakens, finally it opened this week, and it opened to, let me bring up the numbers here, because it's insane. The final number's not in as of time of recording, but as of right now, they're estimating $238 million opening weekend. It's the largest weekend anybody's ever seen in film.
Well, you know, it's no surprise that it was going to break records, considering when the pre-sales came out. Yeah, you know, it pretty much brought down Fandango's website.
Well,
and you know, we knew records were going to be broken. I don't know. The question was how big.
You want to know something that's even crazier? That's domestic. That's just here,
right.
And we know it's opened almost everywhere else around the world already.
Right.
Right now, their estimates of the worldwide opening weekend gross of $517 million opening weekend.
Well, it looks like Disney won't be going bankrupt after all.
Yeah. They're about to make back one of those $4 billion they paid for it. Yeah, so we went to Box Office Mojo, and I found all kinds of numbers. It's amazing. Box Office Mojo is trying to compare it a little bit to Jurassic World, because Jurassic World was the largest movie of all time before this.
Right.
And Jurassic World was sleeping on the job or something, because opening weekend for Jurassic World was $208 million. Which is good. That's phenomenal and that's fantastic for a summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
But the Star Wars opened. They were let me find the right article here. They were saying that it actually broke. It's broken every record that there is for movies. But a lot of people pointed out that in movies, the winner is not a big money time. Like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows had the largest. December box office before this. Mm-hmm. As soon as it brings up the right article, it had the numbers. There we go. Now, The Force Awakens on opening night. Now, all movies for opening night, they put together the opening night and the preview night before. The preview night for this was $57 million, which most movies out there, if they had a $57 million opening night, they're happy.
Right.
This was the preview night.
Right.
But they were saying that...
Dude, most of them get that in a couple months alone.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, you normally don't make those kind of numbers in during like early, like late fall, early winter. You don't make those kinds of numbers. Even a very successful holiday movie doesn't pull those kind of numbers. Now, sure, we're not talking about your average holiday movie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
yeah. Okay, I was kind of curious. So while you were talking about the numbers, I looked it up out of curiosity. In 77, when the first Star Wars came out, the opening was 1.5 million.
Wow.
And it played in 43 theaters.
Well, that was before they even started really checking box office for this type of stuff.
Right. And then when we had the hype basically come up again for Episode 1, Phantom Menace, it had a good opening because everyone, you know, obviously was hyped about it. Its opening was just under 65 million, and it was in almost 3,000 theaters.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
I mean, but if, you know, compared to like 200 and something million, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, I have the numbers here. It says the previous records. It has a bunch of records on the Mojo, but the big ones, these are the records that it set. It set the largest Thursday preview. These are all the records according to Box Office Mojo. I'm not going to run through the numbers right now, but the largest Thursday preview, the largest Friday opening day and single day, the largest domestic, it's estimated right now, but it's already pretty much blown out Jurassic Park, so, or Jurassic World, but it has the largest domestic opening weekend, the highest per theater average wide opening, or for money. Yeah, it's, as of right now, the estimate is $57,000 per theater.
Wow.
Where was that? The top opening weekend for any PG-13 movie, top holiday opening weekend, which the previous one was The Hunger Games Catching Fire at $158 million. The biggest weekend overall, the biggest December weekend, the December single day record, the widest December opening for anything. Yeah, this opened in 4,100 theaters, where The Hobbit opened. That's what I get for looking away from the screen for a second. There, The Hobbit opened in 4,000 theaters. This one had 4,045. They had 4,134. Mm-hmm. So also we have the December opening weekend record, the fastest to 100 million, the global IMAX opening record, and the domestic IMAX opening record. So yeah, if there's a movie record when it comes to numbers and movie and tickets, they have it.
Right.
They've done basically exactly what everybody said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was actually people. I mean, I don't think it's going to hit the 300. There's a lot of people that were estimating 300 million for the opening weekend.
It's not quite going to get there.
No. Another one that's a newer stat for movies was how fast to get to $1 billion worldwide. Mm-hmm. And Jurassic Park, I think, Jurassic World did it in, I think, 17 days. I think there's a good chance Star Wars could hit by next weekend in 10 or less.
Well, yeah, especially when you consider Christmas is coming, kids are off school, people have time off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people nowadays look for things to do on Christmas Day.
Right.
Yeah.
And movies are open now. So it's not going to be a surprise if they hit it by the end of next weekend.
One of my boss at work was already talking about how he was planning on doing the marathon and then going and watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the other thing with people being off this week. They can do the marathon watching and then go see it that, you know, they didn't have time to do when it opened.
Right.
And you have everyone who's seeing it 2, 3, 8 times, you know. Now right. they're just going to keep going back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's going to. There was never a doubt that it wasn't going to make its money. I think there may be a little bit of a surprise at how big the opening weekend turned out to be. Now, that's a good thing that may be a bad thing because now are you going to be using those numbers to measure up against the other individual stories as well as Episode 8 because you're only as good as your last movie. And so now are people going to say, you know, because Rogue One I think because Rogue One's the next movie.
It comes out actually December of next year.
So if people are saying, well, no, if it does, I don't know, 150.
Is Abrams doing Rogue One as well?
No.
Or no? See, that's the thing. Abrams just proved himself on this movie.
Well, actually, a lot of people are saying that if you look at episode, because Abrams is executive producing the rest of it.
Right.
But that's just so that he can help with the story and things. But a lot of people are saying, if you look critically at the movies they've released, that Rian Johnson is actually directing the episode 8. Okay. And critically, and if you look at the way the movies lit, Rian Johnson is, by a lot of people, actually a better director than Abrams.
Ah, okay.
So it'd be interesting to see where it goes.
Well, and not just Abrams too, but Disney proved itself with this movie.
Right.
Letting it go, by just like, you guys create the movie it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so they prove themselves. So now everyone can trust Disney on the Star Wars aspect of things.
Well, I mean, Disney had a lot of practice because of what they did with Marvel.
Exactly.
You know, because the first concern when Disney bought Marvel was, oh, no, because, you know, all the Marvel people are like, Disney's going to take over. We're going to lose the Marvel that we know. Mm-hmm. Disney likes its money.
Well, and like Ken pointed out, before we started recording tonight, there were no Disney princesses in this movie.
No.
No, none of the female characters, all of them were strong women.
Yeah.
Right.
Even Leia, who you didn't like because she wasn't showing a whole lot of emotion, but the emotion she showed was sorrow and things, but it was all for an actual reason. It made sense for the story when she was hurting and things.
And she's a general now. Like, she's not a – even though it was mentioned that, you know, she's the princess, but she's a general now. She doesn't go by Princess Leia.
That's why she wasn't, you know – outwardly, like, crying or being, quote-unquote, weak.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's taking Mon Mothma's place. Is it? Yeah, Mon Mothma.
Yeah, Mon Mothma.
And she took
Mon Mothma wasn't a general. She was leader of the rebellion. There's a difference.
That's true.
She was never a military person.
I mean, the rebellion is more established into a military unit now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have an actual government behind them now.
Well, the nice thing was, like Vicky was saying, that Leia actually acted like what you'd expect a general to act like.
Right.
If you look, when she was in front of the troops and with the people, she didn't show much of any emotion at all. She was to the business. This is what has to be done.
Right.
So, Geeksters, we're not going to touch on this for a long time today because next week we have our monthly show at the Malted Meeple, which I'm dubbing The Meeple Awakens. Because everybody that joins us there everybody's still going to be wanting to talk about this movie. So we're doing a quick touch on it here, guys, but next week, if you've not seen it, skip our show till you see it, because we are talking everything that happens in this movie.
Well, you might want to skip ahead right now anyway, because we're going to talk about spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the – because you guys, if you heard our show last week, we went over some of the fan theories and what stuff we were talking about. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of that stuff before we get into our holiday things. So what – do you have a list of any of the spoilers we came up with?
The main spoiler, like, one of the main spoilers we came up with that fans talked about from the beginning was Kylo Ren and Rey being twins and being the Solo twins.
Yeah.
That is not true. That didn't happen in this movie. Although, technically, like you pointed out, we're not quite sure about Rey, but we're pretty sure she's not a Han and Leia kid because they didn't recognize her.
Well, actually, we were talking to Heather about that earlier today, and there's a possibility of something that they're not twins, but what would have happened if, because we know Rey at a very, very young age was taken to Jakku and knew her parents were supposed to come back. Heather had an interesting idea. What if when Han left, Leia was pregnant and he didn't know?
Wouldn't Leia know who she was?
Yeah, like
Leia would know.
I think Leia would have a connection, and she didn't recognize her at all.
You gotta think if she was a baby when she was taken away, but when that baby grows up, there's
But don't you have that Force connection thing though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
how much training has Leia had in the Force?
But then why would the lightsaber be crying?
Because she would be a Skywalker.
She would technically be a Skywalker.
But then
even
why wouldn't it go to Ben?
I don't know. But these are just some of the theories.
Ben. About took his head off.
Yeah. calling him across.
He was already dark side.
Yeah. Either way, she has to have some connection to the Skywalker lineage because of the things that happened in this movie.
I mean, I'm thinking she's Luke's daughter.
Yeah, I'm thinking she's Luke's
daughter. There's a lot of people.
In the scene where the ship is going away, that's when he left to go train Ben.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, that's the big, because well, you were pointing out, Vicky, the lightsaber was crying out to her,
mm-hmm.
and this is a family passed down heirloom.
Right.
Her instinctual knowledge of how to use the Force. Anakin did the same things that everybody dismisses Episode 1. But if you look at Episode 1 and the character of Anakin and some of the things he was doing without knowing what he was doing, mm-hmm. he was using the Force. He was using the instincts and things to fly pod racers and just like she does.
Right, right.
She instinctually was using the Force.
Well, when she was captured
yeah.
and was using the Force to get the Stormtrooper to let her out,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
she didn't. No one had shown her that before.
No.
Well, the difference
when she was reading Kylo's mind.
Yeah.
Right.
She
yeah.
turned it on
exactly.
him. She saw what he was doing.
She knew what. Yeah, exactly. She knew what he was doing and almost like learned
That's
from
why
him.
I'm thinking she's more, because of her strength with no training,
yeah.
she's Luke's daughter.
Yeah.
yeah.
So obviously, A, the mother has to, I would assume the mother has strong Force ability. That is why her abilities are trumping Kylo Ren's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy. I know her mom is. It's not going to be, but her mom's Mara Jade. No one's going to, like,
but see,
change
that's
that.
Also another thing. We don't even know if her mother stayed with her on Jakku.
Exactly.
Right.
I think it was just her father that went away.
Yeah.
So
it could have been.
Her mom could have died, so obviously
yeah,
she knows her mom's not going to die.
Yeah, because it wasn't specified who she was waiting for. She was waiting for her family to return.
Right.
So maybe that
it was
left?
Not specified mom and dad
yeah.
or whatever.
Maybe it's just her dad.
And you know what? If she's a natural pilot, and
mm-hmm.
Luke had natural... like, that's something that runs through the entire Skywalker
yeah.
line, because Anakin was a pilot.
Well,
and
they don't specifically point it out, but Leia was a pilot too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who was flying through the asteroid field while Han and Leia, Chewie were trying to fix the Falcon?
Exactly.
Okay, so, a normal, just general pilot who has general training in flying is not going to be able to fly through an asteroid field.
Yeah.
No.
There was some Force ability being used.
Right.
And to bring this back to Kylo Ren is the son of Han and Leia.
Yes.
And that's... That's another bridge.
His name actually gave me a surprise, because it is a name out of the EU.
Right.
But I was almost expecting Jason or Anakin.
I was going to say, I thought their son was technically named Jason. And
yeah, well, they had two sons.
Yeah.
Jason and Anakin. Anakin died
right.
During the Yuuzhan Vong War, and then Jason was killed by Jaina.
Okay.
But Ben was Luke Skywalker's daughter, or son.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it
but,
was a
but,
name of a character out of the books.
They gave him what Jason's storyline kind of was.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
With turning to the dark side.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but Kylo has more light in him than Vader ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the fact that he was trying to fight it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was my my thing that I brought up earlier when we were talking with Andy and Heather, that Vader or Anakin, before he made the sacrifice of the Jedi Order, had the same thing. He was kind of a little bit both ways, wasn't sure
right.
what to do. That was his decision to go
mm-hmm.
and finally step into the dark side and stay. Well. Snoke had said that to Kylo Ren, that you have to make a sacrifice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the dark side thing.
Right.
Well, he made his sacrifice in this movie, and I'm thinking myself that next movie, we're going to get a very much more Darth Vader version of Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially now that he's going to have the scars and things after the battle.
Well, and the fact
right.
that Rey bested him.
Oh,
she
yeah.
had zero
Absolutely.
Training.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And actually, I have to say, Finn was no slouch with the lightsaber either.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Well, that's because he's stormtrooper training.
Yeah.
See, that's what Kylo and I talked about afterwards, too. He's like, well, how is Finn so good with that? And I'm like, well, he's trained as a soldier.
Yeah, he's got
to train them in hand-to-hand as well as the weapons.
Exactly. So, let's move on.
Come on.
What? Which one you got?
One thing. Kylo Ren's sacrifice.
Oh, well, I was going to leave that until next week.
No, hell no. There was so much talk about someone is dying in this movie, and it's a big character, and blah, 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 and Kylo thought it might be Chewbacca, but no, it's Han Solo, and he deserved it the way it happened, and...
that explains a lot about why Harrison Ford was so happy about this film, I think.
Yeah.
He finally got his way.
He was, exactly, he was wanting to die, was it in Empire?
Yeah.
He wanted him to be killed off,
right.
so... Which is good, because Harrison Ford's gotten really grumpy with age.
Actually, the last couple of months, he's been a totally different guy.
Yeah, because he's promoting the movie, that's
yeah.
why.
So, but I'm going to move on
well,
past...
And you got to get back to that scene.
Which one?
Seeing a very pissed off Chewie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chewie went nuts.
Yeah.
I thought Chewie was going down with the ship, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I do like where it went, where now Chewie... technically, the Falcon's probably Chewie's.
Yeah.
But you notice he didn't sit down in the pilot seat.
No, no. Well, he's always been co-pilot, so yeah. I'll
just
do it.
So, but guys, I want to move on past this because we don't want to spend the whole show on, because we can talk this for hours
That'll be next week.
Next week, we will talk this for hours at the Malted Meeple. But actually, we're joined by Andy for a second. Just a couple of quick sentences. What did you think of the movie?
Like I said before, I wanted less Simon and more Theodore.
So there was just enough Alvin?
I'm not a big Alvin fan, really. I've always kind of felt Theodore represents the, you know, the real nature of man a little bit better.
Oh, so he liked the Ewoks.
Ewoks and Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, they are. They're short and fat.
Oh, she said the Chipmunks were our version of the Ewoks.
Yeah, well, they're like me. I'm also short and fat. So, yeah, I've always sympathized with Theodore's plight.
So are you calling Theodore the ice cube of the chipmunks?
No, he's calling Theodore his spirit animal.
I'm saying that of the three chipmunks, the main ones. Uh-huh. I mean, there's the girl chipmunks too.
Right.
The chipettes.
But Alvin, Simon, Theodore. It's always been for me. Simon is like my middle dude. Mm-hmm. He's cool because he's a nerd. But he's also kind of like a dork.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for, like, smart characters.
Right.
Intelligent characters.
Right.
But he's more like what your grandma thinks a nerd is.
Right.
More than what a real
like,
nerd
he's
is.
Like Urkel.
He's kind of got an Urkel to him.
Yeah.
Theodore, though, just seemed a little more real. I mean, he was a little bumbly. You know?
Right.
Like, they always portray overweight characters. They're either evil or clumsy.
Right.
But at the same time, Alvin, I just always found obnoxious.
He's obnoxious.
Too conceited, too arrogant. He always had to be the center of attention. So I think that's why he turned to the dark side and killed Han Solo.
Man, you're a deep brother.
That was Road Chip. Well, what did you think of Star Wars?
Oh, there was Star Wars?
Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was really good. I thought the lightsaber battle at the end between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader could have been a little better.
Okay, but you gotta think, Obi-Wan's an old man.
Episode 7.
Oh! The one that's out now.
I actually
really super enjoyed it. Although I've got a different theory than you guys as to who Rey's kid is. Heather pointed this out.
Rey's not pregnant.
I think she's
Rey's parentage, you mean?
Rey's
kid.
Yeah, Rey's kid. We're not there yet?
No. All right. Yeah, they haven't given their whole thing up yet.
No, I think it's more likely that she's actually the younger sister of Kylo Ren that was left behind when he left and he didn't even know about her.
But then why wouldn't Han or Leia even recognize her?
They did. Because she was a tiny little girl, like 3 years old when she was taken away and hid in the desert by Luke. With the dude, forget his name, played by Max von Sydow.
Oh, Vicky, I forget his name too, but Vicky looked him up. Wikipedia actually has an entry for him now.
Yeah.
He's actually one of the leaders of the Church of the Force.
Yeah, so what I think happened is when Kylo Ren left, Leia was pregnant, but didn't give birth yet. That's when Han Solo left too, so Han Solo doesn't even know he has a daughter. But when he meets Rey, he recognizes her. There's a glimmer of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole time he's trying to get her to hang out on the Falcon with him and stuff. That's not Han Solo.
No.
Yeah.
So there's something going on there. And
well, you could argue
it makes
that
sense, though, that if Leia was pregnant when Han left, Han wouldn't know about her. Leia, when they come back at the end from destroying Starkiller Base, Leia and Ren hug each other pretty deeply. Like, more so than you would just think, oh, we both just lost somebody we knew. It's more like they shared a connection.
That could be Ant.
And it explains why she's the pilot of the Falcon, why she takes to it so easily. It explains a lot of things. And it explains why Kylo Ren wouldn't know who she is because she wasn't even born yet when he left. I just feel like maybe if she is Luke's daughter, there's still a lot of story left that it's never even mentioned that Luke had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, I mean, he's a Jedi. They're not even supposed to form attachments.
But he wasn't full on Jedi, that order was thrown out even in the books.
If you were to go through the Jedi's homes, yeah. And I believe it's
Article 9, verse 7,
yeah.
hit and quit it. Right.
Yeah, so, you know.
Right, so it's possible, but it seems to me to make more sense that Leia was pregnant when Han took off and Han didn't even know about her.
Yeah.
And it also explains that it parallels the first movie.
You're right!
In that Obi-Wan was left behind to watch after Luke, while Max von Sydow was left behind to watch over Rey. And that's why else would he have the map?
Yeah.
There, it doesn't. Oh. And it's too much of a coincidence that BB-8 would wander into her randomly in the middle of the desert. I mean, coincidences like that stuff do happen in Star Wars, but it makes a lot more sense if that guy was there on purpose to watch after Rey.
Yeah.
And not just happened to be on the same
planet. Because they wouldn't have just stuck her on the planet by herself. I mean, she was a baby.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I can see that.
But see, if Luke went there first, before he started training then that would sort of explain why the church was there.
Yeah.
Well, right, that guy was there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and if he was the head of the church, that would be why Luke gave him the map.
Exactly.
So,
although I don't know why you wouldn't just give R2 the whole map.
Yeah.
R2 was shut down in the base.
Yeah.
No, but something
changed. Yeah, but he had like one little missing part of the map.
Yeah. But, guys, we got to move on past here because, like I said, we're going to talk this all night if we don't. But, Andy, while you're here,
yes,
what do we have for Mother Droid's news?
Oh, that's a very good question.
This episode's going to be coming out on the 23rd of December, so.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
Festivus.
We got the 4th of July and December sale going.
Okay.
Tons of stuff going on. First of all, with Oddmall, oddmall.info, buy one booth. You get your second booth for half price.
Okay.
If you already have a booth, then you can just get a second one for half price. We don't penalize people for signing up early. ConOnTheCob.com, if you register for Con on the Cob this month, you get a free Cornan miniature. And original artwork, 50% off at Lowteak.com. That's all your favorite low-life art, Con on the Cob art, Oddmall art, Alpha Beast Soup art, Wanderer's Guild, anything I've ever done, basically.
Okay.
50% off. That saved you hundreds of dollars. Free shipping on all orders over $45. Free high fives with all everythings when we meet in person. But that's kind of the standard thing.
Yeah.
What else is going on, Ken? I don't know.
I think that covered...
almost beat me at ping pong.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was feeling really good.
That's big Mother Earth news, let me tell
it
you.
Is. It is. He almost beat me once, legitimately. I did,
letting him.
Yeah, it was back in the summer, though, but see, that was. I was feeling super me that day.
And I totally didn't let you at all. No. It was 100% you. Absolutely.
See, then
it was.
Question.
No. It was 100% legitimate. What else is going on? I don't know. There's so much
stuff. Hey, that's all the stuff that I know about.
But that's the big news for this month. 4th of July and December sale going on. Oddmall.info, ConOnTheCob.com, and Lowteak.com.
Oh, also with Con on the Cob, make sure if you're coming to Con on the Cob next year, get your hotel reservations before January 1st because the prices on the hotel rooms go up at that point also.
I think that's going to be extended till the end of January because the hotel...
Don't go telling them that. We want them to get it early.
Because I don't even know if they can get the hotel reservations yet.
Oh, okay.
The hotel people told me that they wouldn't be able to set that up until I have a meeting with them. But every time we've been trying to have meetings together, the schedules haven't been working out.
Okay.
So I'm probably having a meeting with them this coming week, and then they'll be able to sign up. So, yeah.
You can still try.
So, yeah. you're still going to be doing business on week of the Christmas?
A little bit. Not much. I got,
You're the hardest working man in, like, geek, though.
I'm one of them. I'll agree with that.
There might be a few others.
Yeah. But anyway, all is well.
Cool. Well, we're going to move into geek news in just a minute, but it'll be right after this, geeksters.
All right, everyone, this is for the fans, so we're feeling on the first day of Christmas. The Clone Wars gave to me, Anakin,
a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
You're stuck with me, Sky Guy.
On the second day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me, Ahsoka,
two trusty droids,
and a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
Goodness gracious me.
On the third day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me, Count
Dooku's henchmen,
two trusty droids,
and a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
That's the spirit, Anakin. On the fourth day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me Obi-Wan and Plo,
Dooku's henchmen,
two trusty droids,
and a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
Now we're getting somewhere. On the fifth day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me what?
Fives and Tasty.
Of course, Obi-Wan and Plo,
Dooku's henchmen,
two trusty droids,
and a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
This is where the fun begins.
Now on the sixth day of Christmas, the Clone Wars unfortunately gave to me
General Grievous
Slayer, Hides
and Tasty,
Obi-Wan
Norman Poe.
Dooku's henchmen.
Two trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
Now on the seventh day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me. Take it, mate.
Lightsaber sling.
Get away, the slave.
Boys and his team.
Obi-Wan and Plo.
Dooku's henchmen.
Two trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
It was a dark day on the eighth day of Christmas when the Clone Wars gave to me.
Darth Maul, amending.
With his lightsaber swing.
Get away, the slave.
Boys and his team.
Norman Poe,
Dooku's henchmen.
Two trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
But the ninth day of Christmas, well, the Clone Wars gave to me.
Slice noodle singing.
Oh, I'm a dick.
Lightsaber swing.
Get away,
Mr. Boys and his team.
Norman Poe,
Dooku's henchmen.
Trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
On the tenth day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me.
Looky, Senator.
Padme's secret mission.
Slice noodle singing.
Darth Maul, I'm a bit
mad. Back safe swing.
Get away, the slave.
Boys and his team.
Obi-Wan Pro.
Dooku's henchmen.
Two trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
On the 11th day of Christmas, the Clone Wars gave to me.
Palpatine plotting.
Padme's secret mission.
Slice noodle singing.
Darth Maul amending.
Lightsaber swing.
Get away, the slave.
Boys and his team.
Obi-Wan and Plo.
Dooku's henchmen.
Two trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
All right, here it is, the big finish on the 12th day of Christmas. The Clone Wars gave to me Master Yoda.
Force strong within him.
Palpatine plotting.
Excuse me. Padme secret mission.
Slice noodle singing.
Darth Maul amending.
Lightsaber swing.
Get away,
the slave. Boys and his team.
Dooku's henchmen.
Two trusty droids.
And a Padawan named Ahsoka to train.
And we're back. Welcome back, geeksters. Now it's time to kick off deeply into the Geek Watch 1 Holiday Spectacular. We went through... What was that, Kylan?
Yeah,
that's a little better.
Somebody was screaming back there at the party at the Nakatomi Plaza.
Ah,
Well,
we did. Everybody went through from Geek Watch 1 here, guys, and we put down on a list all of our favorite holiday movies. Good thing that was empty.
Okay.
Okay. But a little bit of Grandma Esther's holiday eggnog from The Flash.
I just can't see out of one of the eyes.
Can't see. She's blind drunk.
Well, we're going to see how this goes. How do you guys want to do this? You want to just each of us go down and tell stuff off our lists? Or?
Yeah. Because
I know Kylan is waiting desperately to talk about one movie.
You guys go first. I'm patient.
Well, okay. How about we just do like the general list and then we can talk. Like, generally speaking, we've all pretty much agreed that we love A Christmas Story.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty much Christmas Vacation. It's more you guys, I think.
Yeah.
Christmas Vacation.
The nice thing with The Christmas Story, it was actually filmed partially, if not mostly, here in Cleveland, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
It was entirely in Cleveland,
yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, you can see, and if I remember right, where the Horseshoe Casino is now in downtown Cleveland, mm-hmm. used to be called the Higbee Store. It was a big, giant, old-school department store.
Mm-hmm. It still has a plaque on the side of the building outside that says the Higbee Building.
Yeah. Well, don't they still, didn't the Horseshoe bring back a lot of the window things they used to have?
I haven't seen them this year. They did for the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, they had the window displays that, they weren't quite like the ones they had in Christmas Story, but they were like the old school animatronic kind of stuff.
Well, the cool thing was, I mean, the O'Neill's building in downtown Akron used to do the same thing mm-hmm. before the the windows aren't there anymore.
Right.
But, because they're clubs. But it was cool because what you see in A Christmas Story, those window things, many cities had that, the old department stores. You would have, like, a Christmas scene with the animatronic creatures and people and ice skaters. It was fun stuff.
They had that in Toronto. They actually still have it because my mom said she went down when she was downtown a couple weeks ago. She went by and they still have the window displays up there near the Eaton Center.
That's awesome.
Well, but, and we got to go to, well, because they actually opened the house several years ago for...
Yeah, the Christmas Story house.
Yeah.
And they, like, it's a museum.
It's a museum, and you can tour it. And
is it actually interesting to see, or is it just a house?
Well, it's interesting because they have a lot of the things from the movie in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've turned it into a museum.
The problem is the layout of the house is not the movie layout.
Okay.
Like, it's a relatively small house.
Right.
So it's not as open layout as the movie is. So a lot of people are disappointed when they see that.
But
there's no Bumpuses living next door with a whole cadre of dogs.
It's the same thing. And you go to Boston and actually go to Cheers.
Right, exactly. Right.
The Cheers, the external is Cheers. The internal is not.
Practically speaking, for filming, they have to have a bigger space anyway. But
back up until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you got like a discount at the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
And so
we actually went to the Chinese restaurant. Yeah, it's closed now, though.
Yeah.
It's no longer open.
But they had Chinese turkey.
They did have Chinese turkey, which was the Peking duck they had in the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. But also, the other one from it, did anybody else ever get a BB gun because of this movie?
Nope.
I got a BB gun buzz before I saw this movie. See, I'm from the South, so that kind of goes with...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get a gun.
Yeah.
So, Vicky, this was on your list, too. What was your favorite thing about this movie?
The kid with his tongue stuck to the pool.
Well, as a kid who hasn't known someone who's done it or actually done it, like, dared someone to do it, you know? And, like, your parents have always told you, never put your tongue on a pole, never put anything wet on an icy pole. Come on. Like, everyone recognizes that when you see it.
Use a metal spoon and then dare your siblings to stick their
tongue. Yeah, exactly. It's the triple dog dare sort of thing everyone does it.
Let's do it when it finally gets cold out here.
all
five of us.
Yeah, once it finally decides to get cold.
We'll stick our tongues to a pole and then whoever can get off the pole first wins.
Vicky and I will just have 911 ready. That's all. Mm-hmm.
How's the video going?
Yeah, Vicky says forget 911. Get the video camera out.
We'll periscope the whole thing.
Nah, I'd be the guy cheating with a cup of hot water with me.
Yeah.
But actually, let's go to some of the classics now.
Okay.
The Christmas Story is a classic at this point, but it pretty much...
Modern classic.
Yeah. But if you look at a lot of the Christmas movies, you got the stuff... It seems like they changed at that point about in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. You have the stuff up to the mid-80s, which people call the Christmas classics. Your Wonderful Life, White Christmas, Miracle on 34th Street, that type of thing. Then after the Christmas Story, then you start getting into like Christmas Vacation and some of these other ones that are on the list.
Yeah, to me, there's a difference. The classic stories are always fully, completely feel good. Everything turns out right in the end. But everyone pretty much likes each other. Mm-hmm. Things are going in a certain direction. There's a pattern to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the more modern classics, it doesn't always end up the way it should in the end.
Right.
But the lives themselves are much more realistic.
Right.
Obviously for modern day, but just realistic generally. Like, they show people fighting a lot and they, you know, arguing over stupid things at Christmas and,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and things going wrong. And, you know, like with Christmas Vacation with, you know, trees exploding and stuff. But, you know, every little thing going wrong. Whereas the early ones were just completely feel good and, you know, everything went right eventually.
Right.
That kind of thing. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with either one. But
yeah.
there's a definite difference between the classic and the modern.
Well, there's a couple that we actually have on our list as our favorites. Was my personal favorite of all time for Christmas is White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've always been a huge fan of Danny Kaye. Anything Danny Kaye was in was hilarious. I've always said myself that Danny Kaye was the start of the really good all-around entertainer comedian. Like Danny Kaye, without Danny Kaye, you don't have Jerry Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have even into the modern comedian styles and stuff. Because Danny Kaye was the Jerry Lewis style before Jerry Lewis.
Right.
He was a singer. He was a dancer. He could He could do all the facial craziness that, like, Danny, like they were, no. The pratfalls, yeah. All of that stuff.
Gangsta raps.
Hey, if he was around.
He could do the gangsta rap. Too.
If he had made it to gangsta rap, he could have done it.
And he did some dramas, too. So it wasn't just like he was completely comedian.
Oh, Five Pennies is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
I liked his work in Directly Out of Compton.
But I think White Christmas is one of those, like, family feel good movies.
Yeah.
Like, your entire family can watch it. The entire family is going to enjoy some level of it.
And the nice thing is, the whole movie.
That's the Holiday Inn?
You saw Holiday Inn, not White Christmas.
Right.
Well, I can give you White Christmas, because White Christmas isn't all about Christmas. It happens over Christmas.
That's what I want to know.
Well, no, anybody who doesn't.
You gotta bring race into
it. That's why I was like, you know what? It don't have to be White Christmas.
Well, in case anybody doesn't know about White Christmas, back in it starts in World War II, at the end of World War II, these, Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, their characters were actually partners in doing these variety shows for the troops at World War II. They were soldiers.
Right.
But when they would have downtime.
It was like Captain America.
Yeah.
So you have to watch it.
Oh, wow. You may get him on this.
Really? I haven't seen it.
But
no. So it's like Captain America.
Once they got out of the war, they actually started their own variety show. One of the old school touring variety shows where it was like the, I forget the names of the characters, but it was their show and they would have other people on the show with them singing and dancing. But the show, the movie takes place where they have some downtime for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a new show starting in the new year. And they find out their old general owns a ski resort up in Vermont.
Oh, I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's no snow. Like like us right now.
That's right.
Yes.
And a ski resort in Vermont with no snow starts to lose money quickly.
Right. I saw a movie. I got 3/4 of it.
So the whole movie is basically about they end up renting the place out to practice their new show over the holidays.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's one too. But the cool thing is, because the music and stuff in it is not all Christmas music, because they're practicing their variety show. So you get some 60s beatnik type stuff in there, some interpretive dance type things. It's awesome, some of the stuff they put in here.
So it's sort of like Breakin' meets Captain America.
That's right. So you have to see it again.
Fame meets Breakin' meets Captain America.
And as I explained to Ken earlier, White Christmas, this was not the first film it was sung in. It was actually sung in Holiday Inn,
right,
which was, I think, about 10 years earlier.
Okay.
Is where the song White Christmas first
and that,
came
you
from.
Said that was Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye
and
also?
It was pretty much, just about this. I think it was the two women in it may have been different, but it was a Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it came up there, but.
Cool.
It's a good, feel-good one.
Well, the next, we really only have 3 of the classics on the list here. The next one I've not actually seen, but Vicky put it on the list, was It's a Wonderful Life.
That's really good.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've all that. And
surprisingly, the remake is actually pretty good too.
Yeah.
But the original, yeah. I mean, I saw that when I was a kid. That was probably the first old school classic Christmas movie I saw as a kid, and it has what's her face? Natalie Wood as a young girl. She's the little girl in it. Natalie Wood. But it's just a good overall. You know, it does Santa really exist kind of movie. Nick is in it. His name's Nick, but he's Santa by the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's another one of those, and it's really good for kids to watch. Like, because it has a kid as a main character, it's great for kids to watch.
Okay.
Isn't that the one where the dude's gonna kill himself?
Yep.
No, that's It's a Wonderful Life.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. It's one. No. It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
I was thinking, the way you're describing it.
I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, hold on.
No, it's the one with the giant rabbit that eats a guy, and he's going to jump off a bridge.
No, that's Harvey.
The giant rabbit stops him from jumping off a bridge.
That's Harvey is the giant rabbit.
But it doesn't
jump
off a bridge.
Same actor.
Right. So Santa Claus stops him from jumping off the bridge.
Santa Claus stops him from jumping off the bridge.
It's like every time you jump off a bridge and Angel gains a
Clarence is the angel in it, isn't he?
Clarence,
yes.
Yeah.
Clarence.
There's something about angels beating their wings, like every time a baby giggles or something.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Yeah, the baby giggle thing was
Tinkerbell?
Was Tinkerbell with Peter Pan.
Yes, the baby giggle was Tinkerbell.
All right, so then there's a giant rabbit in Donnie Darko. That's not a Christmas
movie. And the cab driver and the cop are called Ernie and Bert, and they did not inspire the names for the Sesame Street characters.
But they should.
Oh, okay.
It's just coincidence.
See, the only scene I've ever seen from this is one they use everywhere, and they used it in Gremlins, which we'll get to here in a little bit, was him running down the street saying hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's when he's happy and everything's great again.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
kind of like Scrooge at the end of the
movie. Yeah, it basically is very similar to a Christmas Carol.
Well, interesting, like, my first introduction to this movie was a music video by the band Fishbone, and the song called It's Gonna Be a Good Life, and they have scenes of the movie. Yes, you guys gotta check out the song. It's by Fishbone, I believe it's either called It's a Wonderful Life or It's Gonna Be a Good Life, and it has scenes from It's a Wonderful Life interspersed all through the music video. It was
interesting.
Awesome. That was like my first introduction to the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fishbone.
Well, we kind of talked a little bit about Miracle on 34th Street when Dawn was talking it, but this one's a great one. Basically, it's the whole movie's about, does Santa Claus exist?
Yeah.
And legally proving that Santa Claus exists.
Yes, there's a court case. This is a good movie for anyone who has a legal mind.
How'd they do the court case? How good was it, Dawn? You're a lawyer.
Pretty decent. I mean, it's old school. It's a movie-style court case. And nothing,
I object!
Nothing's anywhere near that dramatic in real life.
Did they have doink doink?
They didn't have the doink doink yet. Oh, but they do have, like, to prove his existence, they end up bringing letters to Santa in, and they start dumping them in the courtroom until they've got this big mound going, you know, that all these people are writing to him.
Like, and which is great, because you see the look on the judge's face, and he loves the fact that, you know what, all of a sudden, this room takes it out of his hands, because it's a federal offense for the post office to deliver mail to the wrong person intentionally. So if the post office decided this guy is Santa Claus, who's he going to argue with the post office?
Right.
Yeah.
I did love that part where the prosecuting attorney gets up and he says, and I believe a quote, "Look at you. You've been had, hoodwinked, hornswoggled, led straight, bamboozled, had the wool pulled on your eyes.
Wrong movie.
Sorry.
Although it was good.
On the North Pole land.
I thought it was a cool scene when the defense calls the prosecutor's son to the stands.
Yeah.
That was a cool turn.
See,
so, that's all the major.
That's the classics.
That's all the classics. Yeah. Classics we have on the list.
Those were TV specials.
I got vetoed on that.
We're talking about movies.
I think next year, because we're going to do this every year, and I plan this show is going to go forever. So, next year we're probably going to do TV specials. This is going to be a lot longer because there's a lot more classic holiday TV specials.
All pick a song from one of those to sing.
I could actually pull the sound drops for him.
We didn't even do that.
No, he wants to sing.
He just wants to carol.
He wants to sing Rudolph.
Andy wants to actually do a special edition of Geek Watch 1 where it's just the caroling edition.
No, not carol, but would be awesome to do a musical version of, you know, like Buffy did.
I would do a musical version.
Geek Watch 1's the musical.
Yeah.
I would do a musical version.
Well,
like
they say your show has really made it when you get to the point where you're able to do a musical.
Yeah, do a musical.
Didn't Supernatural do one?
Hello, Geeksters.
Supernatural did one in one of their meta episodes because they visited a school that was doing a musical about Supernatural.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's move up now into the 80s with some of these. And the one that Kylan kind of is hitting on me because I've never seen Die Hard. But this is number one on Kylan's list.
Even getting you.
That's like Kylan not reading Hitchhiker's
Guide. I just haven't taken the time.
You haven't had enough time.
I haven't taken the time.
The movie's been around since I'm going to shut up. I can't stop.
87? What was that?
The movie had to have been.
Half the 80s genre like that.
Yeah, it was 86, 87 because Bruce Willis was still doing Moonlighting, and I remember when the movie came out, he had just done Blind Date, and then I'm like, wait, he's doing an action movie? He's rom-com guy. He's a dude from the other show. I was wrong.
From the Moonlighting.
I was wrong. I saw this movie.
That was the start of his action career.
That was the start of his action career in
88. It was made out in 88.
What? Yes. Now, interesting thing, this movie... this movie is based on a book. It was the sequel to a book that was, what's guy's name? Frank Sinatra. Okay, Frank Sinatra had played the character in this book from it was a movie from the 60s.
Oh, this was a remake or a sequel to an already?
It was a sequel to a book. It was the second book in this series. So in the book, this guy, he's an old detective, old New York detective, who comes to L.A. to visit his daughter. And I don't think it was even during Christmas necessarily.
Aha, uh-huh, I got it right here.
Right, and so Frank Sinatra was actually approached to play the lead in the movie. Frank Sinatra said no, but they wanted him to revise the role, so there was a bunch of rewrites. And so you end up with action Christmas. Well,
yeah.
And I think it just happened to be an action movie set at Christmas time. But when I saw this movie, I'm like, this is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you again, know? So was Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, exactly. Lethal Weapon is a Christmas. You mm-hmm. know what? I need That's to add that to list. My list. That's on my list.
But no, what you're talking about is Wikipedia actually had it. It's based on Roderick Thorpe's 1979 novel, Nothing Lasts Forever, which is sequel to 66, The Detective, right. which was adapted in 68 to the film of the same name by Frank Sinatra.
Right.
And so Die Hard is a sequel
with sequels.
Like 20 years after the fact.
Right.
See? So they're not, now is not the first time they started doing that.
Exactly.
No, and Wizard of Oz's sequel came out 60 years after.
That's true. Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so you know, when I hear about this movie and I'm just kind of, but then I watch it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a straight out action movie.
I was blown away. I mean, the whole setup of, I think it was like the first action movie I saw where everything is contained into this one building.
True.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I think the other thing though is the fact that even though Bruce Willis is the hero, John McClane. He's not unscathed. It's not like the action movies where there's all sorts of shots being fired and
right.
the hero never gets hit or hurt or anything. He gets hurt. Doesn't he get shot at when he ends up
he gets
shot?
Hurt a lot.
He walks over
That's
broken
like
glass
Indiana Jones
in bare
way.
Feet. And I mean, he's messed
yeah, he
up
got,
by the
yeah.
end.
His feet are all cut
but
up.
But he's still the hero and he still saves the day.
You know,
and he comes back to do five more movies.
Exactly.
I'm like, you know. And I mean that was the first movie that you know he tapes his gun and I'm like why is he and I'm watching that in the final scene he's taping the gun to his back shoulder and I'm like why the heck is he doing that and I'm like and then you know he comes up and then you have Hans Gruber who's played by
Rickman
Alan Rickman. This is in my opinion probably Alan Rickman's greatest role because he.
He's great at villains, period.
He is. He's like probably one of the best movie villains when he watches it. He's just, you know, he's likable, but he's so despicable at the same time. And the look on his face when he drops. The funny thing is, there's a little story there, is that they told him that when we drop you, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, we're going to drop you. And so he's like, so he's prepared. They went 1, and then they dropped him on 2. That's why
he's actually shocked.
The look of shock on his face. And classic. Because the look on his face as he drops is just, oh, that's beautiful. Just, you know, and that's what Christmas is all about.
We're going to end up watching this as soon as we get home tonight.
We're going to have to sit down and watch this at some point.
That's what Christmas is all about.
No,
folks.
Since you spoiled the ending for you.
That don't matter.
When he hits the ground, he lands on his feet, and then he runs away. And comes back and robs the place again.
Ah, okay. Well, that's how they have multiple Die Hard movies.
Right.
Yeah,
so let's keep
one's
in the.
Also a Christmas movie.
Yeah, the second one's yeah, that's true.
Well, let's keep this
the
in the
good times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep this in the somewhat actiony, non-traditional style Christmas because we'll come back to the traditional style here in a minute.
But
yeah, Heather was talking about that how Christmas is technically Brian's birthday also.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But. The next one on here that I was excited to see on the list was Gremlins.
Yes.
I love this movie. It's the kids' movie that's not for children.
It doesn't get the credit for being the Christmas movie that it is.
That's true.
Everything in that movie is Christmas.
Exactly. It is a Christmas. I mean, nowadays, Die Hard is actually getting credit for being a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it last week.
Yeah, you bought it in the Christmas section mm-hmm. at the exchange last week. Mm. I mean, Gremlins doesn't get the credit that it needs for
the Although, on the cover of the DVD, if I remember right, Gizmo's holding a Santa hat.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
It's a Christmas movie.
All the way through.
The whole point. He gets Gizmo for a Christmas gift.
I saw this movie when it came out. I was a kid. I loved it. It was horrifying, and I loved it.
Yeah, this was one of the few that actually was a kid's movie that was legitimately scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And adults were scared of this movie.
It is an absolute geekdom. I mean, this is not just a general Christmas movie. The Gremlins are a geek thing now.
Yeah.
Gizmo is a big-time fandom. You get the people that were in the movie showing up at Comic-Cons and stuff. So it's not just the Christmas movie. It's the fact that
speaking of which, what's his name that plays, I think, Zach in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
Zach Gallagher?
Yeah, hang on.
No, go with what you're saying.
Oh, he was actually saying that Gremlins 3 is coming, and it's not a reboot. It's actually a sequel farther ahead.
According to him, it's coming.
Yeah.
This is the thing, because I looked into that. According to him, it's coming, and he actually wrote a treatment for it at one point, which sounds horrible. It involved all the gremlins coming together into one mecha gremlin. because suddenly becomes Godzilla gremlin. Like, it's just,
is that like saying Dan Aykroyd's had Ghostbusters 3 sitting in his pocket for 30 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he actually has. He actually wrote a script for it.
But there has been talk about another Gremlins movie anyway. But he likes to bring it up all the time at his cons anyway.
No, just thinking about seeing all the adults and stuff and scared of this, I really must have had a twisted childhood. Because all the stuff that adults were scared of the 80s, I grew up. We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the Stephen King to this, like, we loved all of it.
There was two sections because I never actually got a chance to watch most of the really scary Stephen King and all that stuff because
Stephen
just
King,
the way I was raised.
Like,
Die Hard. I didn't get a chance to watch it because
all
of my age.
Stuff, right?
I was 12 when it came out, so I wasn't old enough to watch an R-rated movie.
I was 3 years
and my parents,
than you.
My parents didn't let me watch an R-rated unless they had seen it. So if my dad saw it, he didn't rent it.
Right.
See, we watched all that stuff. As long as there wasn't, like, a naked chick, we watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we watched tons of it.
My dad took me to
I'm
see Blade
also
Runner in the theater.
Younger.
Yeah.
I saw Blade Runner when I was a kid with my dad. Okay.
Yeah, but see, when did Blade Runner come out?
That was 80.
Like 82, 83?
Yeah.
So I was like 6. So
I was 10.
So when I was 10. My parents took me to see Caligula.
Didn't
like
Penthouse
that,
Pictures make that one?
Oh, I think so.
So you got
was
to see
that
naked,
educational movie?
Joanna Cassidy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, Gremlins is a fantastic... It's a great movie. If you have really young kids, you might not want to show it to them at this point, but, you know, give it a watch yourself.
I love the...
Explain to them it's puppets and fake blood and they'll be fine.
Well, my nephew is...
In the blender.
Right.
What, about 2 years ago, Kathy showed Adam the Gremlins? She was saying he sat there with the blanket so he could cover his head as he needed.
Exactly.
He was like 8, 7.
I mean, honestly, though, knowing that they're all puppets and everything, it actually holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
Even just watching clips from it and stuff, it holds up pretty well.
A lot of the 80s stuff like that did.
Yeah. But if you watch it now as an adult, especially having seen it earlier, there's a heck of a lot of questions that don't get answered by this movie.
Yeah.
So don't overthink it. Just have fun and watch it.
No, but most of your family are scared of their shadows anyway. Like,
sometimes.
Okay, what's next?
So, let's see what else was on the list here that was more of an action-y style. The rest, I think, the one on your list that I've heard of, I have no idea what it is, though, is Love Actually. What is this?
Love Actually is a British one. It's gained more popularity as a Christmas movie over the past couple years. It has a huge amount of well-known people in the cast. Like, it has Hugh Grant. It has Rowan Atkinson, who's Mr. Bean. Colin Firth, Liam Neeson, Keira Knightley.
So is it more like a romantic comedy
Alan
type?
Alan Rickman's in it.
So is it more like a romantic comedy style?
It's a little
or?
Closer to a romantic comedy. It follows like a few different couples kind of throughout the course of the movie. Some stuff goes well, some stuff doesn't go well. It's kind of one of those. But it's really enjoyable. And for a holiday movie, it's good. Like, I'm not a rom-com kind of person and I'm not a chick flick person, but there's enough in this to kind of keep me interested and watch it. So it's kind of cute.
Well, actually, before we move on to the next one, we do have a winter-type movie that Andy wanted to sing along, so we got some music if you want to do a sing-along, Andy.
What is it?
You got to turn it all the way up so that we can hear it.
We all have to sing along.
Uh-oh.
If we know the words, I don't know what it is.
I think you know what I'm
saying. Let's see. See if this works. If not, I'll have to look it up and play it through the speakers here. What you got?
Oh, God. Aurora hates this movie now. She's like violently opposed to it.
Want to come out and make a snowman?
No, let's not play this. I have purposely not even seen this movie. Because it looks detestable.
Is that?
From Frozen.
Yeah, no.
Actually, the movie wasn't terrible. It wasn't as good as everybody says it is.
Yeah.
But it wasn't terrible.
I agree.
I
like the music from it. And
yeah.
The kids used to sing it all the time.
That's my problem, is it's way too overdone.
They got super saturated with it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But see, the different thing is that they put Big Hero 6 after this, and Big Hero 6 blew it away as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but then they did The Good Dinosaur after that. And
I've not seen that one yet. Well, that was Pixar. These were Disney.
Yeah.
I heard the dinosaur
is.
No, the Good Dinosaur is Pixar.
I thought Pixar was owned by Disney.
But they're still, it's a separate company.
Okay. It's like Marvel and Disney. And
okay, well, let's move on to, let me see where we're at on the list. You know what, we talked about it earlier, and everybody here, I think, enjoys this one. And everybody who I think who's ever seen this movie enjoys this one. Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
The classic, nothing goes right for these people ever in any movie. They did, what, 5 vacation movies with Chevy Chase in them, and not once did it go right.
Chevy Chase is just not a lucky man.
No, he's not.
Well, what it is Clark Griswold is the classic trying to do everything for his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is he tries to do too much, and it backfires on him.
Trying to overdo everything
exactly.
for his family. Mm-hmm. It's all about going on the big vacation, whether it be the local road trip or going to Europe or whatever, or Vegas. And then finally they stay home for Christmas, and it doesn't go well either.
No.
Yeah.
But, of course, he tries to give them the big Christmas. He has to do what you see now everywhere, the huge amount of Christmas lights all over the house. He has to do, you know, the big tree. He has plans for his holiday bonus, which don't go so well. you know, there's a kidnapping. There's a trailer that shows up in the driveway with cousins.
And a squirrel.
and a squirrel in the tree. Hey, who doesn't want a cousin like Cousin Eddie?
I don't.
How many people have a Cousin Eddie?
How many people are a Cousin
Eddie? Yeah. If you don't have a Cousin Eddie, you probably are one.
Yeah, I don't think I have one. But
you gotta think, even as much negatives as Cousin Eddie has, that guy loves and will give you his left arm if you needed it.
Left something. That's true.
God.
Eddie ultimately is a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's just very... redneck about it all.
Yes. But he doesn't care about that. He knows what
sure.
he is.
He
knows the way it is.
Yeah,
and you know
he
what?
Does accept what he is.
He accepts it.
Yeah. But it's one of those movies. It's kind of like Christmas Vacation along with A Christmas Story and certain other... Like, it's like you just have to watch it at Christmas. It's going to happen. You're going to throw it on. You're going to watch it.
Right.
Or you're going to catch it on one of the many showings on one of the television stations.
True.
Because it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do like 25 hours of...
Christmas Story, they do.
Yeah,
a
I think TNT does.
TNT.
Yeah. TNT or TBS,
yeah.
One of those.
One of those, yeah.
But, no, I miss the old Star Wars marathons over the holidays on Spike TV.
You don't need them now.
Yeah,
everyone owns
them. Everybody owns it, so.
Well, so that was Christmas Vacation. Is that all we had on Christmas Vacation?
Isn't that the one where the cat and the uncle
yeah,
blew
the
up?
Cat.
Oh, yeah. And then the cat or the uncle loses his toupee?
Yeah.
Don't they use the cat for the toupee or something at some point? I don't know how it works.
Well, something similar to that, though, on Ken's list is Home Alone.
That's right.
You,
Home Alone. I love
you,
that movie when
I was
younger.
If you want more violence in your life.
Well, actually, I guess that he redid, I haven't seen it, but Macaulay Culkin redid the character recently.
Yeah,
he did.
As an adult now.
Yeah.
And he looked kind of scary.
Well, he looks kind of scary anyway.
Yeah.
But I also saw an article recently about the horrors of Home Alone. Like, they looked at all of the offenses that the kid did, all of the criminal offenses he came up with against these guys who were just trying to break into the house.
And they would all have been.
Yeah, exactly. All the injuries and all the,
I absolutely hated that movie when it came out. I saw it, and it probably wasn't a bad movie, but I hated it. On the grounds that it made more money than Star Wars did.
Yeah, at the time.
And like, this movie, seriously, it's just about a kid in a house with some bumbling crooks, and it made more money than Star Wars.
Right.
And just on the general principle of it.
Yeah, but you gotta look at time, when it came out.
It doesn't matter.
Also,
I did look at that stuff.
It's the principle.
It didn't matter to me.
And it's the fact that in the end, the parents don't get arrested for leaving this kid on his own in the house.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
That's
no,
why
no offense
hold up
to Macaulay Culkin, but most movies starring kids, not all of them, most of them, they're just not, they haven't gotten enough acting chops together yet to actually.
It's no Goonies.
It's no Goonies.
It's no Goonies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another one I think they're trying to get. Most of the original cast has said they would do it if they would actually put together another Goonies.
Yeah, they are starting to put it back together. Yep.
They're all willing to come back.
But it's more of a follow-up. It's not a reboot. Yeah, right.
They've been doing that a lot more recently, though.
Mm-hmm.
20 years later,
bring their kids in and have the kids do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, another one on the list that I've not seen that looks interesting was kind of put on Hebrew Hammer.
That's right.
What is the Hebrew Hammer?
Now, this was a televised movie on, was it MTV that did it?
It was Comedy Central.
Comedy Central did it?
Comedy Central.
Well, that explains a lot.
Hebrew Hammer is about this guy, who works, well, he used to work for the Jewish Justice League.
The what?
This is not a movie to take seriously.
The Jewish Justice League is a group that looks for, they look out for the interests of the Hebrew community, the Jewish community. And they felt like his tactics were a little heavy-handed, so he got kicked out. So he's kind of off on his own, sort of like doing the PI thing.
It stars Adam Goldberg.
It stars Adam Goldberg.
Goldberg is Jewish?
It also has Andy Dick and Mario Van Peebles in it.
Yeah. Now, Andy Dick plays the son of Santa, and Andy Dick, and this isn't a spoiler.
Spoiler alert. He kills his dad.
He kills his dad, okay, to become Santa Claus. Because he's tired of Christmas having to share its time with Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, so he wants to do away with Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, so that it's all about Christmas. So he sets out to get rid of Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and he brings in the Hebrew Hammer, and
essentially the equivalent of the Black Panthers. They join forces.
They join forces, which is led by Mario Van Peebles.
Does he play Kwanzaa Bot?
I forget what his name is. It's not. He's like a member of
His Mario Van Peebles' name is Muhammad Ali Paula Abdul Rahim.
Yeah. So the two of them join forces to take on Andy Dick as Santa Claus, and there's just wholesale violence.
This sounds like the greatest movie ever made.
Dude, this movie is awesome. This movie, there's one.
I don't even know how we ended up watching it when it was on, and then all of a sudden, Kylan was like, "I have to own this DVD."
Do they have it on DVD?
Yes, we have the DVD.
There's this one part where he goes in this bar, like the Hebrew Hammer is going around trying to find Santa. So like the whole scene, like the old blaxploitation movies, mm-hmm. where like the dude's going around, he's going in the bar kicking everybody's butt. So there's one scene, he's got this big old M60, he walks in, kicks in the door, and it's like a white supremacist biker bar, and the guys look up, and he said, "Shabbat Shalom,
mother."
Boom! It's beautiful! It is beautiful!
He's actually referred to as the Jewish Shaft at one point.
Yes.
Okay, we have to see this.
Yeah, people, you need diversity in your life. Watch the Hebrew Hammer.
Like we said, it's all about holiday movies. This is, you know.
This touches
it's a Hanukkah
all.
Movie.
This is all Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas. All of it in this one movie. Watch it.
I have an actual question.
What?
Until about 10 years ago, I had never even heard of Kwanzaa. Where did this, what is this?
Do you want me to do this?
No? I will do this here
hold on.
After the show, we'll talk about
it. Just like Ohio's made-up holiday, Sweetest Day, Kwanzaa is not exactly an entirely legitimate
I didn't
holiday.
Think so either, but...
Yeah, no.
But we'll talk about that after. Off-air.
We'll talk about that after, Kylan. Hey, let's move on to the next one. We're going to do some more Christmas-style Christmas movies. I'm going to start with Santa Claus the Movie. From the 1980s, this is the most Santa Claus-style movie you can get with candy canes everywhere.
It was a live-action story of Santa.
Yeah, I think so. It had John Lithgow was in it. Dudley Moore was in it.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
All kinds of people. And I swear, the guy playing Santa Claus had to have been the real Santa Claus. You watch that movie, it was amazing how good he looked.
It's the same people that did Superman the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
I remember when he was out.
It was David Huddleston was Santa Claus.
But he looked the best I've ever seen as Santa Claus.
Unless that's an avatar.
Santa.
I think they had real reindeer on it, though.
We're friends with the real
He was also in Blazing Saddles in The Big Lebowski, in case you want to know.
All right.
Ah. Who was he in Blazing Saddles?
I don't know.
Santa.
Well, the whole movie is
Olson Johnson.
One of Santa's chief elves. What?
Your father's been trying to get you to play Santa for years.
Yeah, my dad's trying to talk me into volunteering for the Polar Express to be one of the Santa Clauses. Because they need, yeah, that's what the thing was. Powder.
Yeah.
But it is, I don't know.
You're already graying, so just wait a year.
Yeah. But the general story of this, I believe, was one of Santa's chief elves leaves the North Pole because this guy tries to talk him into monetizing Christmas. So they start selling all the stuff for Christmas and trying to basically nudge out Santa Claus by doing this. So, and John Lithgow is the bad guy in it.
Of course.
Well, John Lithgow, actually.
He's been a good guy.
I think it was Lithgow.
Yeah, it is. But basically, the whole purpose of the movie is to explore the whole Santa story. Mm-hmm. Like, where did Santa come from? How did he end up with his wife? How do the reindeers fly? How does he get down the chimney? Like, it basically explains everything about Santa.
Yeah. So
yeah, it is cool in that way.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, check it out. It doesn't play that often.
No, it doesn't. Might have to watch, like, check the listings for AMC or something and see if it's
Yeah, it was 1985.
Yeah.
So yeah, check it out, guys. 85 was called. It's just called Santa Claus or Santa Claus the Movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
both ways.
Yeah, it's a good and it's this one is another one that's a good family movie.
And it's not the same as The Santa Claus.
No.
With
Tim Allen
in it. Which is an okay movie.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing, so don't
for that. So, moving on from there, that's
because Tim Allen accidentally killed the real Santa and had to take his place.
Yeah, that's exactly. Interesting. We actually could talk about that one.
That's a horrible beginning to a movie. Let me tell you.
What movie?
Killing Santa.
The Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
The Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, and don't watch Silent Night, Deadly Night either.
Yeah, I was
going
to suggest Silent Night.
Well, let's go down the list here. We got...
you know his story... For real, there's been so many different versions of Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Santa Claus actually kind of makes a little bit of sense that everyone would be a little different.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Dawn, on your list, we have Elf.
Yes, Elf.
That's a good movie.
Okay, now I'm not a huge fan of Will Ferrell, I'll give you this much. But the story itself is kind of cute, and it's fun, and it's silly, and it's... completely fish out of water sort of story. Basically, it's the elf that suddenly discovers he's human, because he's bigger than everyone else in the North Pole, and his adoptive father is Bob Newhart. So Kyle loves this movie, even though he didn't put it on his list. Bob Newhart's in it, so he loves the movie.
Wait, there was something else I saw. There was the librarians I was watching.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I watched the beginning of that movie show, and then I'm like, now I know I kind of like this movie.
There you go. But he has to go. The buddy, the elf, decides to try and find his real father, who happens to be a horrible Scrooge-like character played by James Caan, living in New York City. And of course, he turns him around, and Buddy falls in love. And there's a big musical number at the end with Zooey Deschanel standing on a carriage singing is it Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Yeah, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
And getting the whole crowd to sing for everyone to believe in the Christmas magic and let Santa's sleigh fly again, and it's just a feel-good movie. Yeah.
I like it.
Hey,
yeah.
A good Christmas movie.
And it is based on a book, so there you go.
Well, most good Christmas movies are going to be a feel-good
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. You feel good in the end.
Yeah.
You want to, go bake some cookies and trim the tree when you're done.
I took a quiz yesterday about what Christmas movie I am, and apparently I'm Elf.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I would have thought Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I wonder where mine would come up at.
We were wondering about Krampus.
Private Silent but Deadly Night. You're amazed!
Yeah, that one actually looks good. It's, and I've heard some actually okay reviews for Krampus that's out right now.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
The story behind that is we messed up.
Yeah.
Well, it's got the traditional Krampus story.
Do you have Arthur Christmas on your list?
No.
That's a good one. Have you seen it?
Huh.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with the...
Isn't that the CG
Arthur
movie?
Yeah.
I like that.
I take it bad Santa didn't make the list.
Well, we've not seen Andy, what'd you tell us?
I almost put bad Santa on the list. I really almost did.
Hold on.
I haven't actually seen bad Santa.
As an adult, a movie as it is, it's actually a half-decent movie.
What about Ernest Saves Christmas?
That almost made my list.
Oh, man, that would be on my list.
I was surprised it didn't get
that almost made my list.
Ernest Saves Christmas was actually good.
All the Ernest movies were cool.
Yeah.
I like Scared
Well, at least
Stupid.
The first couple.
Scared Stupid!
Oh my god, that's Scared Stupid!
Scared Stupid, I have a story to tell about that one, but it's not appropriate for it.
See, that one. My favorite Ernest one was always the first one. The Ernest, yeah, Ernest goes to camp. The camp. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Erroneous.
Yes.
The dude was trying to find out the perfect ingredient for scrambled eggs and ended up being like yellow Play-Doh or something. No, but Arthur Christmas was actually a pretty good animated movie. It's been a couple of years since I've seen it, so I don't remember all that much about it. But it was like a modern telling of the line of succession for the Santas. Like, Santa's getting ready to retire, and his oldest son is about to take over. But he runs all of the North Pole like this huge, like, military complex, where the elves are like commandos that sneak into houses with, like, you know, rappelling lines and stuff. It's actually really cool. They've got, like, Yetis that work with the elves to make the toys and stuff. You guys should see it. It's really fun. But Arthur is the younger son, and he's the one who has, like, all the Christmas spirit and doesn't want to be all, like, militaristic or commercialized and stuff. And it's basically him, something about a bike that some little girl wants, but he wants to make sure this little girl gets the bike for some reason. And, you know, there's an adventure that ensues. But it's good stuff. I highly recommend it. It has my sea lion of approval.
Cool.
You know what movie I completely forgot about that is technically Christmassy? Rise of the Guardians.
That's right.
Yeah. We have it, but I don't remember most of the stuff about it.
I mean, I think it made me think of it because, like, Santa's all, like, tatted up and stuff. And it's actually really, I mean, it's only partly Christmas because it covers all of the Easter Bunny and Frost.
Yeah, but it focuses, it's that time of year.
Yeah, but that was actually really good.
That was a fantastic
Well, let's go to another one that's technically Christmas, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Okay, this was on Dawn's list.
There's always a dispute whether is this a Halloween movie or is this a Christmas movie.
Yes.
And it's both. It's called Nightmare Before Christmas.
But if it's before Christmas, is it Christmas?
It's Christmassy, because we watch all of these before Christmas, right?
Right.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. It's halfway between.
Exactly. It's Halloween-y.
What I like,
because of all the spooky stuff.
What I think is funny is how Disney, this has become a Disney movie, because it wasn't originally. This was Touchstone put it out, which was a Disney company, it wasn't a Disney movie.
Yeah, Disney owned it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Tim Burton movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's
But Jack Skellington is everywhere on Disney stuff, whether it's Halloween or Christmas, and it's just a fantastic movie, like the whole story of, you know, what makes it Christmas and why should there be a separation of the holidays? You know, all these spooky things are Halloween, and why can't they join in Christmas as well? And all of these are kept apart. And it has some great music, though. Fantastic music. And there's been albums that have come out of popular groups and singers redoing the music, too.
So. Well, that was Danny Elfman did it, wasn't it?
The score and everything, yeah.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite composers.
Yeah.
He does some great stuff.
He does a lot of the Tim Burton stuff.
And what's interesting is if you listen to any of his modern stuff, it doesn't sound like Danny Elfman.
No, it doesn't.
Scores are almost chameleon sound. Like, a lot of times, John Williams, one of the greatest composers of all time, in my opinion. But you can tell it's John Williams no matter what movie he's doing.
He has
a John Williams style. Right. But Danny Elfman's more of a everything he writes is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it fits with whatever he's doing, not as much as saying, hey, Danny Elfman wrote this. This was actually a very good, well done score.
Right.
He did, what was it, the new? He did half the score for Avengers Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
He got half credit on that on that one. It's like,
yeah, but you would never know to listen to it to be able to identify him. That's for sure. But yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, it's animated, but it's not necessarily for little kids or anything like that.
No, it's not.
I mean, all the Halloween stuff gets a little scary.
There's some spooky images
and stuff,
but other than spooky images, it's not that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say it depends how well your kids handle it. Like I would say. Yeah. No more than like 4 or 5 years to watch it.
Well, but see, what it is this isn't one that is not a kid's movie for content. It's because of possible scary imagery. Now, most parents, as long as you sit and watch with your kids and explain what's going on, that way you can see if the kids
don't
are starting to get
turn
freaked
it on
out.
And walk away.
Yeah. If the kids are starting to get freaked out, maybe it's time to let them grow up a little bit more before you let them see it again.
I don't know. Maybe toughen them up.
But, I mean, quite honestly,
this
can start your kid on a fandom. There is so much Jack Skellington stuff out there.
I got a niece who everything is Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street.
It has the full feel of Tim Burton that if your kid likes this, well, show them Edward Scissorhands, which, by the way, is another Christmas movie.
That's true. We just watched that last week.
So, because, you know, Edward Scissorhands, he creates snow, we're going to say. But, yeah, so they could get into the whole Tim Burton vibe off of this movie for sure.
Well, the last one I think we're going to bring this part of this to a close here, though, is one that's a story that's been told hundreds of times. If you look through the history of film.
Jaws?
No. This one is by a fantastic actor who's still doing some things, but Bill Murray in Scrooged.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a story, like I said, the story of A Christmas Carol has been told hundreds and hundreds of times through all different media. There was just something about when Charles Dickens wrote this story that is transcended through time, that it touches everybody somewhere.
It's one of the first major Christmas stories, period.
Yeah.
You know, the way Dickens wrote it. And there were a lot of stories around that time, but his just kind of took off because it just resonated with people so well.
Exactly.
So that's why you get so many versions of the movie.
But the one we have on our list right now is Scrooged. Now, actually, I've not seen this one.
How many of these movies have you not seen that are on this list?
You've seen it, you just don't know you've seen it.
You've seen story, just but you haven't seen it with Bill Murray.
Did Mickey's Christmas Carol replace Mickey with Bill Murray?
That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's more. It's like he's working on a TV studio.
Yeah, he's like the head of a TV studio.
And they're doing a presentation of A Christmas Carol.
And he's the Scroogey kind of guy. He's the one who just wants all the money. He wants his people to work. And it's essentially the basic story of Christmas Carol. He's the guy who ends up getting visited by all the ghosts. Mm-hmm. But it's just a more modern setting, and it's a bit... It has that kind of kooky Bill Murray comedy thrown in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like, some of the ghosts are, like... Ghosts of Christmas Past is, David Johansen as mm-hmm. a cab driver.
Yeah.
He's the one who's known.
Is that you, Santa Claus?
In musical circles, he's known as something else, and I can't remember his name right now.
Buster.
He's known.
Buster
Poindexter.
Yeah,
that's
Buster Poindexter.
He's known as Buster Poindexter. Music wise, he did the song Hot Hot Hot, and he did Santa Claus song. And then the Ghost of Christmas Present is Carol Kane. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen Princess Bride, you know who Carol Kane is. She's married to Max. And she's got the wild blonde hair and everything, and she's a little crazy
Remember, she's not a witch, she's his wife.
Exactly.
Wasn't she also Penguin's mom?
And you know, as usual.
Yeah, isn't that, didn't she play Penguin's mom in Gotham.
Yeah, in Gotham, that was her. And as usual, you have Grim Reaper doing the whole Ghost of Christmas Future, because you know, Scrooge always has to die horribly and get warned by Marley he's gonna wear all the chains and all that sort of thing. But it's a fun version, it's a modern version, but it still keeps the essence of the classic story, and I just think it's good to watch.
Is it as good as the Muppet Christmas Carol?
I don't know, it might be tied with that.
Ah, okay.
Well, see, the Muppet Christmas Carol, though, is the traditional story.
Yeah.
You know, they're way back in Victorian kind of thing, but yeah.
Still no Ernest Saves Christmas.
It's still no Ernest Saves Christmas, I will give you that.
Yeah. That scene in Ernest Saves Christmas,
I got the
when
best
they're sneaking into the customs house to rescue the reindeer, and Ernest, this is one of the greatest heist movies ever made. You can't give me the cut off your voice neck signal, but you've got to talk about this, because any discussions of movies in general, there's heist movies like Ocean's 11 and stuff, that gets all the attention.
Right.
When Ernest sneaks into the customs house by hiding a bunch of rubber hoses under a blanket in the back of his pickup truck and telling the guy at the gate that they're pies and snacks. He's like, I'm here with the snacks. The guy's like, the what? Snacks, the pies and snacks. And the guy doesn't want to look under it because he doesn't want to get bit. So that's how they sneak in. That's classic heist movie jazz right there.
Yeah, you're right, man.
If Ocean's 11, they could have been like, we're here at the casino with the pies and snacks. We got to bring them into the vault. Everyone would be like, bringing pies and snacks into the vault. What are you doing with that? And he's like, I don't know, but we were told to do it, and nobody wants to look under there, so they just walk right into the vault.
That's because you're right. 14 and whatever.
About the pies and snacks.
Right. Pies and snacks.
Vicky says she's got the best one for last. What do you got, Vicky?
Star Wars.
How's that? This year it was
Christmas.
Which one are you talking about?
She's talking about the holiday.
Oh, the holiday special.
Well, that was televised.
Yeah, that's televised. So, but we are next year. I am dead. No one's stopping me. Next year we're doing that. We do the show. We're going to do the TV specials.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's my number one.
But you won't remember even next week.
That's why I got two. That's what her job is to remind me of things. But
hey, we've all got smartphones. They have calendars that go a year ahead.
Hey, you can go 5 years ahead.
Exactly.
So we have to
put a reminder in there.
We do have to give an honorable mention to Lethal Weapon.
Yes, because that never made it on the list because we didn't remember till too late.
We didn't remember.
But, I mean, I gotta say, there's a difference between holiday movies and movies that just happen to take place.
That is true. That is true. There's a lot more giving and the Christmas spirit in Lethal and Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. You're right.
And it's got Run DMC playing on the
radio. That's true.
Hey, yeah. We were talking that next year we're going to talk Christmas specials. Have you guys seen, we watched one yesterday that was, have you guys ever seen Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it till yesterday. I liked it.
That, yet again, is another one that's been on TV and completely disappeared, like the Star Wars special.
Yeah. It's on. Reasons. We saw it on Amazon yesterday on Amazon Prime. Another one that you guys, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but that came out Thanksgiving this year was what was that called?
Turkey Hollow.
Yeah, Turkey Hollow.
Was that any good?
That was fantastic. I have
it
on.
Weird to me.
No,
I don't know.
The cool thing was it's live action and the puppets, but the puppets look like they're supposed to be there. It's not like the Muppets where you have to. Suspension of disbelief that these are animals talking.
Right.
These are, they're mystical creatures, but it looks like they belong in the woods. So.
But they all, well, also what that is, that was Jim Henson's original from like the 60s when he wrote it.
Yeah.
It's very old.
This movie was actually made kind of almost by mistake because what it was they were going through the offices and they found this box of puppets and a couple of scripts, and then no one remembered what it was.
The puppets were falling apart.
So they did a little research on figuring this out, and they're like, this is good.
Cool.
So they decided to go ahead and make it. So we'll come back and talk about that. Maybe I'll actually let you guys borrow it, and we'll do a show about that or something. It was actually very good.
And Geeksters, you should definitely be leaving us comments or tweet us or however you want to contact us. Let us know if you agree or disagree with our list at all. What else you add to it, if there's something we missed, something more obscure that we should try and watch, let us know.
Okay.
KylanandKen@gmail.com.
Wait, you have to think about this? You set it up.
Twitter or shoot us a picture on Instagram. I don't know.
Hey, I'm going to try to use Instagram more because Facebook and Twitter doesn't always work for me for some reason. I'm just not – I just don't put it up enough. But I can easily take a picture and put it up.
There you go.
So.
Yeah, put something on Instagram and tag us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be awesome because we'll
share it. We'll put it on our page.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up on time, guys. This has been great, actually sitting around talking about our holiday favorites. But before we wrap that up, Dawn, what's your number one favorite now out of all that we've talked about? Just real quick, what's your number one?
I'd still go with Elf.
Okay. Kylan, what's...
I don't find many things that make me feel really good after I've watched them, and that's one of them.
Cool. Kylan, what was your number one favorite holiday movie? It was Die Hard. I don't know. After tonight, it's still Die Hard?
I'm just thinking, I'm trying to be objective, and it's still Die Hard.
Okay, Andy, what's your number one favorite holiday movie of all time?
I'm going to go with Die Hard 2, but also, not Die Hard 2.
As well.
Die Hard.
Die Hard as well.
Stupidest name for a sequel ever.
Yeah.
Well, except for like the fourth or fifth one.
Live Free or Die Hard?
Yeah. Or what was the other one? Die Hard. There was Die Hard with a Vengeance. Live Free or Die Hard.
And a Good Day to Die Hard.
In Russia.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Regardless, I don't want to say the same thing he said. So maybe, I really liked Arthur Christmas. It was recent.
Okay.
Oh, no, Rise of the Guardians was better.
Okay.
Rise of the Guardians, that's my favorite.
Vicky, what was your number one favorite?
I like the TV specials better, but
okay.
I can't share.
Well, what's your favorite movie?
No idea.
Okay.
Okay, Ken.
Well,
what's yours?
Mine is still White Christmas, just because I grew up singing and doing stuff in choir and stuff in high school, performing here, performing wrestling. It's a movie about performing.
And there's a nostalgia.
Exactly. So that one's still mine. So we got a little bit of news still, guys. Remember, next week on December 28th, come and see us at the Malted Meeple. We're calling it the Meeple Awakens.
Have no excuses. A lot of people are off between Christmas and New Year, so. Come support the Meeple, play some games, join us on the show.
Exactly. You can take all day playing games because it's a Thursday or it's a Monday afternoon right after Christmas. Most people still don't have work yet. Bring your family out, play some games all day, hang out with us, and talk Star Wars.
Meet Don's mom.
Oh, Don's mom's coming?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Probably be there.
Awesome. We're going to have a really special guest. We're going to definitely have to get some dawn stories.
At the time of posting, 7 p.m. she'll just be arriving in town. So yeah.
Hey, maybe we can get some young dawn stories.
Oh, no. Ooh, baby pictures.
Oh, we got young dawn stories. Kylan, you got to have her bring baby pictures.
Tell her mom.
I might actually have some baby pictures of home. It's not that big a deal.
Wait, did you still
have Dom? What were those pictures from high school? Or?
Oh, no, I'm not showing high school pictures.
Yeah, but your mom's coming. I'm sure she has some.
Let's move on.
Okay, so come see us at the Meeple Guys. We're going to do our regular Meeple Cast that we do once a month. It's always the last Monday of the month. Well, this one is December 28th at 7 p.m. Come hang out. Also, this past week, Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself all got a chance to record with Mike and all the guys over at Weeby Geeks, and we did our year-end review. It was the Weeby Geeks Watch 1. It's already up on our page. Many of you have probably already downloaded it. Thank you. But we put it up this past Saturday as a special edition. Listen to it. That's our year-end review. I believe after the first of the year, we're going to actually try to get the complete Geek Watch 1 crew together and give you our what we're looking forward to for 2016. Yeah. We've also got some great things coming up that we're lining up for the next couple months, a couple of interviews and things that we'll tell you more as we lay them down. One of them, as I know, coming up in the next couple months, we have Seth Breedlove from the Sass What podcast. If anybody actually is interested, and also the Small Town Monsters movies. He's a movie director, podcaster, and he does a lot of stuff about Bigfoot and actually talking the legends and things of the local areas. And he does it from a different point of view. A lot of people have seen Finding Bigfoot in movies, shows like this, where everybody's a full believer. Every sound you hear in the woods is a Bigfoot. Well, Seth comes at it from... Go ahead, Vicky.
It's because he doesn't have producers tweaking what they're saying and doing.
Exactly.
He's his own producer.
Seth makes his own stuff, and he's not a Bigfoot believer. He believes in the possibility of Bigfoot, which is awesome. That's more of where I come from. I'm not a believer that's going to sit there and say, Bigfoot's out there. But I love the fact that he could be there.
That's because it's your cousin. You're a Wookiee. They're Bigfoot.
Well,
it's your cousin.
So, Geeksters, if you know people who you normally might not consider geeky in terms of what we usually have on the show, but they're into some paranormal aspects or cryptozoology, give them a heads up. Let them know this is coming, and they can give us a listen.
Exactly. We're also going to try to do a couple of different things this year and get some spread out more into geekdom, like this cryptozoology, and maybe some more into actual gaming and things. But for tonight, I want to thank everybody. Thank you. Andy just stepped out, but I want to thank him for being on the show and talking with us. But remember, you can always go over to the website. On our website, find this little link called the sponsors page. On there is all the people that help us out with our show monetarily. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of money to do this, but there is a financial side to this, and right now we're paying out of pocket. So click on the links to the banners that are on the page. The easiest one is Amazon. Like we've said multiple times, everybody uses Amazon. Right. It doesn't cost you any different. It's, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, just go to our site first.
We've been supporting ourselves. We've shopped at Amazon for the holidays and made sure to click the link. So you know,
and we know it works. Because of this, we know it works.
We've seen a couple bucks. We know it works.
But there's a bunch of other geek websites also on there. There's also a link to Patreon. Patreon is a great service that basically is kind of like a public radio model. You pay a certain amount monthly, you get bonuses from it, and you're helping us out by giving us a little bit a month, $1, $2, whatever you can do. And if you can't do it, huh? What was that? You'd have to look on the site.
You could get brownie recipes. You could get geeky haikus. You could get t-shirts. You could get all sorts of wonderful things.
And the one big one Vicky wants. If we get everybody over, I believe it's the $15 a month level, if the total download or the total amount is $100 or more a month, we're going to start a second podcast. It'll be Geek Watch 1 After Dark. And Weeby Geeks wants to get in on this too. It's a totally uncensored, whatever happens, happens.
I want that. I'll pay $100 a month.
We need $100 a month, then everybody who's at the $15 a month or more gets the podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
People want to hear us curse.
Apparently that's the big draw.
It'll be weird. Hey, maybe on that one we could actually play a game of Cards Against Humanity on the show.
Yeah. That would be awesome, actually.
But we got to get to that point.
I get let off my leash.
So that's all of our sponsors, guys. You can always find us at geekwatch1.com. You can also go to iTunes, Stitcher, and the Satchel Player, and soon, hopefully, on Google Play at Geek Watch 1. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kylan and Ken. Also, KylanandKen@gmail.com. Now, guys, we need some feedback from you. I mean, it's great on the Facebook and Twitter and all those that you guys have been talking. We've had some good conversation going there. But we need to know specifically, what do you want to hear on the show? We want you to be a part of this show, so let us know what you want us to talk about. We can talk about anything. Right now, we're coming up with it on our own, which is fine. But if you like something, if you don't like something, let us know. There's multiple ways to get a hold of us that I just said there. You can also find us anytime you want on the Tangent Bound and the Weeby Geeks networks. And remember,
may the Force be with you, and to all, a good night.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.